We present Mr. Willow's Wife by Ray Cooney and John Chapman, starring Moira Lister, Terence Alexander, and Doris Hare. Episode 3, Love Thy Neighbor.
Nice, isn't it, Paul?
Mm.
Summer evenings really make you appreciate living in the country.
Cozy. That was a beautiful dinner. Mm. Those rissoles were fabulous.
Those rissoles were Wiener schnitzels.
Well, they were still jolly good.
And before you go any further, my sweet, the overcooked cucumbers were aubergines.
And delicious. And what with the meal we've had, the coffee we're having, and the brandy we're about to have, I'm beginning to think married life is almost bearable.
Oh, thank you, darling.
We couldn't have spent an evening like this before the twins went away to school.
No, bless them.
Then it was anything but all calm and cognac.
No, more like all go and grape water.
We could even listen to a bit of decent music on the radio now. Do you remember how one or other of the kids always used to interrupt in the beautiful bits?
The music wasn't the only thing they used to interrupt.
Yeah. But until the holidays, we can make the most of being alone.
Just hubby and me.
Finish your coffee.
A nanny makes three.
Not yet, nanny. No.
We'll clear away the dinner things ourselves.
Well, who else would be doing it?
Your good self.
Me? Mr. Willow, was it my job to be clearing away the plates?
Probably not, no.
There you are.
No, I just thought the exercise might do you good.
Exercise?
Well, it can't be healthy for you, just sitting up there in your room all day sucking sherbet bonbons.
What Mrs. Willow means, Nanny, is that as the children are boarding school, you might like to think about helping out around the house.
I'm paid for nannying the children.
That's the point. At the moment, we've run out of children.
Well, I'm sure you don't need me to be telling you how to stock up again.
Well, I'll just pour us a couple of brandies. You switch the radio on.
All right.
Oh, hell, we're out of brandy. I forgot to order some.
Never mind. Anything else exotic to offer?
Half a bottle of eggnog we brought back from Ostend.
Oh, actually, I was keeping that for when one of us was ill.
Well, just a couple of small ones.
Okay, fine. Is this the right program, Paul?
Yeah, that's right. Here's your eggnog.
Thanks. Here's to you, darling.
And you, sweetheart, and our 15-year-old marriage.
Our 15-year-old marriage.
And our 13-and-a-half-year-old twins.
Our 13-and-a-half-year-old twins.
Your fabulous cooking.
My fabulous cooking.
Nanny.
My fabulous cooking. Yeah. Oh, so that's what eggnog tastes like.
Mm. You know you weren't sure whether to drink it or keep it for when one of us was ill?
Yes.
I think you've just killed two birds with one stone.
Here we are. Hold your glass out.
Now what are you doing?
Adding a drop of gin.
Well, that won't mix very well, will it?
Well, it will when I've added the gin to beer.
Yeah, I see. It's true.
There we are. One eggnog whisk fizz.
Wow.
What do you think of my eggnogger?
It's a real knee knocker. Well, let's settle back and listen to the music, shall we?
Yes, let's. Aren't we lucky, darling? Not many like us, are there? The really good thing is that we can sit here and don't feel we have to talk to each other. We have got a happy marriage, haven't we?
I thought you'd never ask.
Now, I'd go further than happy marriage.
I'd listen to the flaming music if I had the chance.
I'm sorry, darling. No, it's just that until lately we haven't had the chance to tell each other how perfect everything is.
No. Yeah.
Now, you take Diana and Dickie.
Must I?
Do you know they've had a terrible row? She hasn't spoken to him since last Tuesday. I couldn't bear that, could you?
I could give it a try.
No, but seriously, darling, I think they're separating.
Well, they're always separating.
No, I think it's different this time.
Is he?
He's having a love affair.
Oh, Felicity, that's only gossip.
It jolly well isn't.
Of course it is.
It isn't. I've heard it from every woman in the village.
Look, darling, if you don't mind, I don't believe in discussing my friend's private lives.
All right.
So drink your egg whisk fizz and listen to the music.
Won't say another word.
Good. Who did you hear it from? Hmm? Who did you hear it from?
Hear what from?
Well, Dickie's affair.
Is Dickie having an affair?
Can't make slanderous remarks about our best friend.
Shh, please. I'm trying to listen to the music.
Never mind the music.
Oh, I was just beginning to enjoy that.
Look, what's all this about Dickie?
They're having an affair.
Who?
He and his secretary.
Oh, is that all?
What do you mean?
Well, every man's supposed to be having an affair with his secretary.
Are you?
Of course.
What?
Supposed to be.
Look, one of Diana's friends saw them together in a restaurant the other lunchtime.
Well, that constitutes an affair, does it?
Ah, but he was looking at her.
Well, he can't go through a three-course lunch blindfold, can he?
And they were holding hands, and they were flirting.
If that's all you've got to go on, I should forget it. Dickie holds hands and flirts with anyone. Well, even I've stopped going out to lunch with him.
It's all very well for you to joke about it, but poor Diana doesn't know which way to turn.
Well, maybe that's her problem.
Look, darling, now, Diana is...
Diana is a jealous, scatterbrained twit.
She speaks awfully well of you.
Yeah. I don't know how Dickie's put up with her all this time.
How he's put up with her. Just think how he behaves at all those parties round here.
He enjoys himself.
I should say he does. They don't call him Tricky Dickie for nothing. I wish I had a pound for every bottom he's pinched.
That's not serious.
There's 20 quid owing on mine alone. Yeah.
But he absolutely adores Diana, but all she does is antagonise.
She adores him, but all he does is womanise.
So if they both adore each other, why the dickens are they separating?
That's a very good point. You know, I reckon all they need is someone to remind them that they adore each other. Paul, here's a chance for you and me to help.
What do you mean?
Well, here we are, all snuggled up on the sofa, listening to beautiful music.
We were.
But while our friend's marriage is going on the rocks.
Felicity, do me a favour.
What?
Don't do them a favour. Oh, what are you doing with the phone?
Now, I'm going to ask them over for dinner tomorrow.
Darling, think twice.
If we think twice, we won't do it.
That's what I mean.
What's their number?
44984.
Oh, yes.
With any luck, they'll be rowing too loudly to hear the phone.
I'll say goodnight to you then. I'm off to me bed with me bonbons and the good book.
Oh, Nanny, we'll have a busy day tomorrow and I'm inviting the Saunders over for dinner.
Ah, thanks for the warning. I'll put up the barricades. That poor Mr. Saunders, when you think what he has to live with, no wonder he drinks. But I must say, he's a real card when he comes round here.
There's another £10 owing on Nanny's. Oh, it's ringing. It's ringing. I hope they're at home tonight.
If I was married to Mrs. Saunders, I'd give her the rough edge of me tongue.
If I was married to Mr. Saunders, I'd tell him to go to hello, Dickie. Lovely to hear you. Now, we were wondering if you and Diana could come to dinner tomorrow night. But, oh, super. Yes, any time after 7. Wretched cordon bleu and its fish sauces. Should have given them baked beans on toast. Nanny, can you spare a second?
What's that?
Could you put your magazine down a minute?
Ah, there's no peace for the wicked.
Now, I'm late. They'll be here in 10 minutes and heaven knows where Paul has got to.
I phoned while you were in the bath.
What?
Well, didn't I tell you?
No, you did not.
Well, it was nothing important. It was just that he's going to be late.
Oh, no.
Something about a meeting and buying some booze on the way home.
Well, take a look at this sauce, will you, and tell me if it's thick enough.
Thick enough? Oh, you could stick the wallpaper up with it.
Taste it.
Yes, it's quite nice. But I don't see why you have to spoil a piece of fish with all that malarkey.
Well, you're not having to eat it, are you? I've given you your money for the fish and chip shop.
Ah, I bet the twins are missing their fish and chips now. You didn't know I used to take them down there of an afternoon, did you?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Oh. Was it the vinegar that gave us away?
No, the pickled onions.
Have you heard from the little horrors this week?
Yes, they're fine. Well, I say fine, but apparently John got a caning for the first time.
Ah, the poor little darling. What was it?
Being rude to the maths master.
What happened?
Well, the master said, if you had £175 in one pocket and £313 in another pocket, what would you have? And John said, someone else's trousers on.
There's no justice, is there? Now, he gets caned for it, but Ken Dodd gets paid for it.
Yeah, hello, darling. Sorry I'm late. Trains are all haywire, too.
Yeah, it's all right. They're not due for another 5 minutes.
Oh, evening, Nanny. How are you?
Worn out, Mr. Willow. She's had me in the kitchen since 10 o'clock this morning. Oh, the work I've got through.
And the magazines.
Well, something smells good. What's on the menu?
Well, we're starting off with consommé foie en gelée.
Oh, what's that?
Cold soup.
It's delicious.
She served you hot soup cold so often. This time she's playing safe.
Well, what's the main course?
Sole bonne femme.
Oh, if I remember correctly, that's Dickie's favourite thing.
No. Second favourite.
Yeah, true.
His first favourite isn't on the menu tonight.
Well, this should kick the evening off, all right?
Darling, champagne!
2 bottles and the brandy. Now, I'm going to soft them up with champagne cocktails when they arrive.
That's a very dangerous, potent drink, that is.
Well, it'll help to relax everybody.
Followed by debauchery and an orgy.
Yeah. Nanny, what a dreadful thing to say.
Yes, dreadful. We don't need champagne. We do it over tea and biscuits. Now, off you go, Nanny. Have your fish and chips and be back in time to help me wash up.
All right, all right. You see how she treats me, Mr. Willow. You get your fish in a lovely white sauce and I get mine in Sunday's newspaper.
Well, Nanny has a logic all of her own. We must get her to leave her brain to the nation when she dies.
Why not before?
I'll pop a champagne in the fridge. Anything I can be doing for you?
You can chop up that French loaf.
Okay. Oh, and remember, when Diana and Dickie arrive, don't go at it like a bull at a gate.
I shall be calmness personified. Ah, God, they're here!
Take it easy!
Yes, now look. Open the champagne, light the candles, fill the coal shuttle, and I let them in. Coming! Coming! Is that the bottom-pinching fiend of... Oh, hello, Vicar.
Good evening, Mrs. Willow.
This is most, how are you?
Fine, thank. Can't complain.
I thought you were Dickie.
No, I've been keeping very well, thank you.
No, I thought you were Mr. Saunders.
Who?
Saunders, Dickie Saunders, a friend of ours. Well, you wouldn't have met him. Well, it's nice to see you.
Thank you, I hope I'm on time.
On time?
Well, you said we could have it at 7 o'clock this evening.
When you say, have it.
Chat about the church bazaar.
Struth.
Beg your pardon?
Struth is, I said, Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Of course it is. That's why you're here, isn't it? Yes. Do come in.
Thank you.
Yes. I just want a quick word with my husband, if you wouldn't mind standing by yourself in the hall.
No. May I take my coat off?
Must you? Very draughty spot. The wind whistles through, takes your face off. I better keep your coat on.
Oh, very well. You will allow me to remove it when we sit down to dinner.
Ah! Oh. Dinner. Yes. Dinner and chat, Vicar Tuesday.
Yes. And here I am with my bazaar file.
Won't keep you a moment. Just stand there.
These champagne cocktails will blow your socks off.
Good evening, Mr. Willow. Oh.
Good evening.
Paul, you remember Vicar Tuesday? Vicar Hardy? He hasn't forgotten.
Hasn't he?
Now, Vicar, will you just wait in the lounge while I tell my husband you're here?
What?
I mean, tell him that you mustn't hear. About the surprise. The surprise we've got for dinner. Just you go and sit in the lounge and take this glass of champagne. There you are.
Well, as a rule, I don't imbibe.
Very wise. Just sip it slowly. We'll join you in a minute.
But I...
What the heck's going on?
I forgot.
What?
Dinner, chat, vicar.
Dinner? Diana and Tricky Dicky with a vicar?
I invited him round to discuss the village bazaar weeks ago. It's completely slipped my mind.
You silly girl.
Anything the matter?
No.
No. Paul was just saying I was a silly girl because I forgot to tell you about the other guests.
Oh, well, the more the merrier. I'm delighted you managed to co-opt other people onto the committee.
Well, I haven't actually co-opted them, not yet.
But you will. I expect your wife is a constant source of surprise to you, Mr. Willow.
Yea, verily.
Ah.
Ah.
I believe that was your front doorbell.
Yes. I believe it was, Paul.
Yes, I believe it was too.
Aren't you going to answer it?
Oh, yes,
yes,
of
course. Maybe it wasn't the front doorbell.
No, maybe it wasn't.
Yes, I think it is, darling. Would you just pop back into the lounge and finish your drink?
Well, no hurry. I'll meet your friends first.
Later.
You've done it now.
How do you mean?
Diana and Dickie. If the secretary doesn't bust up their marriage, the monthly meetings of the bazaar committee will.
Well, I had to say something.
Yeah, and it'll be held against you.
Well, I'll let them in and explain quickly about the vicar dining with us.
Yeah, and I'll have one of these drinks. I'm going to need it.
All right, all right. Felicity.
Diana.
Darling, there's something I must tell you. After you.
The vicar's in the lounge and he's having dinner with us.
Lovely. Dickie's in the car and he's stoned out of his mind.
He's what?
Plastered, darling. Some business lunch that started at 12 and finished at 4:45.
Oh, let's shut the door and maybe he'll go away.
What a ridiculous suggestion, Paul. Diana, could you just drive round the village till midnight and then come back?
You'll finish dinner by then.
But you can have the second sitting.
You better speak to Dickie. Here he is.
Keep the door open. I'm coming through.
Dickie, I've got a slight problem on my hands.
I'll drink one of them for you, thank you. My wife better have one to cheer herself up. Here, help yourself, droopy chops.
Dickie, you're sloshed.
I know, isn't it lovely?
Dickie, pull yourself together.
I didn't know I was coming apart. I gag a minute.
Felicity and I have had a little surprise.
Congratulations. When's it due?
Dickie, if you could just concentrate for a brief... Oh!
Dickie, stop that.
The phantom bottom pincher strikes again.
Did somebody call?
No.
Oh, good evening.
Hello, hello. Nobody told me it was fancy dress.
That's a good one, isn't it? Oh, isn't that a good one, Paul?
Very droll.
This is the Reverend Hardy.
How do you do, Vicar?
Hi, Rev.
Diana and Dickie Saunders, Vicar.
Ah, you must be the Willows' bazaar friends.
You've said it, Vicar. I'll shove the coffee on, but for God's sake, get back in there fast and bung round the peppermint creams.
Well, I suppose it could have been worse.
If the ceiling had fallen in, yes. In fact, I think the vicar wishes it had.
Vicars are supposed to be broad-minded these days.
Well, if Reverend Hardy wasn't before, he certainly had a crash course tonight from Dickie. Put those cups on the tray.
He only told the one dirty joke.
Yes, but three times. Yeah.
I shouldn't worry. The vicar never got it.
Well, I still think it was a bit off to tell that story about the bishop and the actress.
It's quite amusing, really. It's not too bad.
Sheer disaster. From the moment the vicar asked if he could have his soup warmed up a bit.
We'll have a good giggle about it tomorrow.
Dickie won't, that's for sure, when he's told that he's volunteered to run the entire church bazaar.
He's very good at organising.
Pub crawls, yes, not religious functions. The last time he had any connection with the church was when he was christened.
Now, you're being very unfair.
Even that was done over the telephone. Now, come on. Let's get this coffee in there before that drunken friend of yours signs on as gravedigger.
Hang on a second, Rev. Do you know what the actress said to the bishop?
I do.
No, that's what she said later at the altar. When they were on their way to Brighton, do you know what the actress said then?
We know, darling.
Yeah, my God, Vicar, she's still alive. You've met Funny Girl, haven't you?
Indeed, yes.
Are you married, Vicar?
No, I don't have the pleasure.
You said nothing about the pleasure, asked if you were married.
No.
Well, if ever you're contemplating it, you give me a ring and then I'll talk you out of it.
Could you change the subject, Dr. Kinsey?
All right, good idea. I can finish my joke. When the actress said, "Will you spend the weekend with me in Brighton?" the bishop said,
"I hope you like it nice and strong."
No. The bishop said,
"Coffee's up. Here we are. You do have coffee, don't you, Vicar?"
Thank you, yes.
And a peppermint cream?
Well, I don't eat sweets normally.
No, usually doing a handstand in the sink. Hey, don't you get it, Rev?
No, I don't think I do.
Well, you'll have to be quicker, Vicar.
Coffee, Diana?
Yes, black.
Would you like a brandy, Mr. Hardy, or a port?
No, thank you, not for me.
Diana?
No, darling.
How about you, Paul?
No, I think not, just coffee. You have one, if you like.
No, I've had quite enough. Coffee all round.
Wait a minute, hold your horses. Ickle Felicity has forgotten Ickle Dickie.
She ickle well hasn't.
You've had three bottles of wine, old man.
That's why I think it's a good idea to change to brandy.
Come on, lover boy, home. time I poured you into bed.
Me and the Rev got to finalise my comparing of this bizarre thing.
Yes, well, I've been thinking about that, Mr. Saunders.
And so have I. Now, first things first, how do you advertise this do of yours? Huh?
I announce the notices from the pulpit every Sunday.
Right, I'll be up there with you next Sunday. I'll be there, you and me. I'll give him a short spiel about the bazaar and finish off with a couple of gags.
That would certainly be unusual.
Well, you know, appropriate ones, of course.
Of course.
I know one that's tailor-made for the occasion.
Really?
About a bishop and an actress.
Here we go again.
I really think you ought to be running along now, Vicar.
Yes, yes. It's been a pleasure, Mr. Saunders, Mrs. Saunders.
Great pleasure meeting you. Thank you, Mr. Hardy.
And, of course, your charming husband.
You used the word loosely.
No, he used the word charming.
Good night, Mr. Saunders.
Night, Rev. See you in a pulpit, 11 o'clock on Sunday.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, this way, Vicar.
Yeah. I hope your friend will be all right.
Oh, yes, he hasn't really warmed up yet. Actually, he's very good with children and dogs.
The Vicar was in a heck of a hurry.
Dickie, I think you've probably put the Church of England back 15 years.
I could kill him.
Oh, for a vicar, he wasn't that bad.
I ask you, Felicity, what can I do for him?
10 years in Holloway?
Felicity, my old thing, do you by any chance have a blanket?
Blanket?
You want to curl up on the city.
We're going home.
As long as you don't disturb me, I don't care where you go.
He's safely off the premises.
Did he say anything?
Yes, he said that was a pleasant evening.
Good Lord.
I think you got the emphasis wrong, Paul. I expect what he said was, that was a pleasant evening.
Come on, Dickie, off that sofa.
I want to go sleep.
I shall leave without you.
Best news I've heard today.
And I shall probably go home to Mother.
Promises, promises.
And this time I might not come back.
I'll forward your letters, old thing.
Goodbye.
Good night. Sweet dreams.
Oh, Paul, for heaven's sake, go after
her. What'll I say?
Well, tell her to come back and collect her empties.
No. Now, look, let him stay there. I can deliver him tomorrow with the papers.
Get her back.
I hope you've given up the idea of sorting out their problems.
Well, I certainly have.
Thank God for that. Those two don't need an advisor, they need a referee.
Now, come on, Dickie, sit up and drink this thick, black, nasty coffee.
Why?
Because it's time to get up and go to bed.
Both at the same time.
No, I'll pull you up. Now, get your arm round.
Oh, this is sexy.
It's late. You've got to go to bed and so have I.
Smashing.
No. Stop that. Now, behave yourself. Yeah. Come on, up, sit, Daisy. Well, let's get you over to the window.
What are you going to do? Push me out?
Don't tempt me. I'm going to sober you up with some fresh air. Now, you stand there while I open the window. And don't nod off again. There we are. Dickie, where are you? Dickie, what are you doing?
Taking my trousers off.
Go to bed.
Yeah, make it a rule, never sleep in trousers.
Put them back on immediately.
Going to bed. Oh, that's lovely.
Get off that sofa and put your trousers back on again.
Stop it, Felicity. You're getting much too familiar.
Well, give me a hand then.
No, I want a cup of tea at 7 o'clock.
Lift your legs up.
And a lightly boiled egg at 7:30.
Now, just sit up a bit. No, don't lean on me.
No, hang on a sec. Well, stop pulling my legs about.
Well, shift your wheel or you'll both fall off. Dickie, let go. Look out. We're off.
My God, you're a fast worker.
Come, untangle us.
Darling, I couldn't find Diana. Is it? What the hell?
Oh, hello, darling. I'm having a little trouble.
Well, it doesn't look like it from here.
Yeah, I slipped.
You certainly have. I don't wonder you've sent me off.
Oh, can't you see he's almost asleep?
Well, that's adding insult to injury.
Oh, you silly oaf. Help us up.
Come on, Dickie, now up you get.
Now, you support him under the arms and I'll put his trousers on.
What's happening now?
I'm putting your trousers on.
No, don't be damn silly, they won't fit you.
Stick your legs out. Oh,
blimey, he's a dead weight.
Well, he's nearly asleep.
Keep his bottom in the air.
Oh, the doors were open, Mrs. Willow, and I... God help us all.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah. Changed your mind about the brandy, Vicar?
No.
You remember Mr. Saunders?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'm probably wondering how he came to be in his underpants.
No.
Well, I am. Tell Mr. Hardy.
Well, yes, it was just a slip of the trousers. Mr. Saunders got on the sofa to drop off, you see. Then I went to open the window for some fresh air, and there he was, without. No, I don't mean without in the garden. I mean he was within without. So, of course, I got him on the sofa to get them back on right away, but I'm afraid I slipped up. Off.
Very neatly put. Are you still with us, Vicar?
Quite a chapter of accidents. Actually, all I came back for was my overcoat. I left it in the hall. Perhaps now I'm here, I could give you a hand and put on Mr. Saunders' trousers.
Well, I suppose it's all part of your parochial duties.
That's it, yes.
Yes, helping the sinner.
Especially one that's going to be up there in the pulpit with you next Sunday.
Oh, on, then, all hands on deck. Paul, under the arms, and the vicar, under the bottom. And I'll slide the trousers on. Are you ready?
Yes. Look, do get on with it.
One, two...
Where's all the washing up there? Glory be to God.
Oh, hello, Nanny.
Thank you, Nanny. You may go.
I should think I may. I said it would end in an orgy. And who's that peeking out from under the backside there?
Good evening, Nanny.
And the Church of England supporting it.
Helsinki. But not now.
Give me those trousers, Mrs. Willow. Come on now, Mr. Saunders. You little devil. Come on, making an exhibition of yourself like this. Put your feet in your trousers now before I tan your hide.
If you'll excuse me now, I think I've fulfilled my duties for this evening. Good night, everybody.
No, good night, Mr. Hardy. Good night, Mr. Hardy.
I won't shake hands, Mr. Saunders.
No, kiss me, Hardy.
Well, I think it might be worthwhile listening to his sermon next Sunday.
Ah, there you are now. Trousers on.
Thank you.
Do you zip up yourself? I might do you mischief. I've an idea you're going to have a real darling of a hangover in the morning. I'll mix him one of me pick-me-ups, Mrs. Willow.
What goes into her pick-me-ups?
Milk of magnesia, cod liver oil, Cointreau, liver salts, brandy.
That's a pick-me-up.
Yep, one sip and we pick you up.
I wish I stayed asleep now. I'll feel shivering.
I'll wrap you in this blanket and take you home.
I don't know if you're interested, but Mrs. Saunders is striding up the path like a fury.
So pull yourself together, Dickie.
What?
The enemy's coming over the hills.
Is that husband of mine still around?
In here, Diana. There he is, nicely wrapped up. Don't open him till Christmas.
Do you realise, Dickie, I went all the way home without the front door key?
In my pocket.
I know. Come on, in the car. I'll drive.
Thank you. Lucky you turned up when you did. Do you know Felicity tried to seduce me?
Dickie!
Yeah. Got me on the couch, took my trousers off and rolled me on the floor.
Felicity!
I was trying to help.
Yeah, the last thing Dickie needs is help.
I quite understand you're defending your wife, Paul, but I have noticed in the past that Felicity often makes eyes at Dickie.
Makes eyes at him?
Yes. I've seen you in corners, smiling up at him, with your hands coyly behind your back.
If my hands are behind my back, it's to protect my...
Hold it! Hold it!
That's what I have to do.
Steady, sweetheart. There's no harm in a little bit of bottom pinching, and Dickie can't help the way he's...
Dickie? The whole village knows how you carry on with your secretary, Paul.
Well, that's what... Me?
Paul's secretary is 55 and married with grandchildren.
That's what makes it so sad.
Now, look here, ma'am. One of the reasons we invited you here was to convince Diana that there was nothing between you and your secretary.
Paul! What a dreadful suggestion.
Certainly is. Let's go home, Diana. I'm astounded that our two best friends could spread such scurrilous rumours.
So am I. We're the happiest couple round here.
Yeah, come on, Po-face.
Paul.
Yeah?
When would you say things started to go wrong?
15 years ago.
Well, we didn't know the Saunders 15 years ago.
No, but it was about that time I marched you down the aisle and was daft enough to say I do.
You were daft enough?
Just a minute, just a minute.
You can go to bed, Nanny.
Will there be anything else tonight?
Apart from a rather gruesome murder, very little.
Good night, then.
If you have any more scatterbrained ideas like this, and if I ever hear one more piece of gossip, I shall walk out of this house for good and all.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Paul, darling, what are we doing?
Having a damn good row.
That's ridiculous. All because of Diana and Dickie?
Oh, yes. They're all right anyway.
I'm sorry, darling. It was my fault.
No, it was mine.
No, mine.
It was mine.
Mine.
Mine?
All right, it was yours.
Yeah.
Come here. I'm here.
Give me a kiss.
Kisses aren't given. They're taken. Oh, that was nice.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Like to take another one?
Yes, please.
You know, I've just realised why Dickie and Diana row like they do.
Why?
Oh, it's so marvellous making it up afterwards.
In that episode of Mr. Willow's Wife, the parts were played as follows. Felicity, Moira Lister, Paul, Terence Alexander, Nanny, Doris Hare, Diana, Alethea Charlton, Dickie, Ray Cooney, Vicar, John Chapman. Love Thy Neighbour was written by Ray Cooney and John Chapman, and the programme was produced by David Hatch.